So we start our course on Paul's letters. The first problem that it does arise when you come to Paul's letters, as you find them in your New Testament, there are 13 of them, and a decision has to be made. Did Paul write them all? And you may or may not know that there's quite a few scholars, in fact it's fairly general among the scholars, to suggest or to claim that Paul wrote about half them, but the other half were written by his disciples. I'm going to come back to that because that will be important if we want to know Paul's mind and heart, which is my aim with you. Having explored that matter for myself as thoroughly as I can and gone into all the arguments both for and against, and I'll come back to this later this morning, I'm of the opinion that Paul wrote all 13. So I will be presenting to you all his letters, or whatever time we have, but I'll be presenting all of them, and I think we can use all of them as ways of coming to understand the mind and heart of this wonderful missionary. Leaving that aside, having said that, and I will come back to that, another major question arises, and this is really important and not as easy. In the New Testament, there's another book which you all know well called the Acts of the Apostles. From chapter 9 through to chapter 28, it's basically about Paul. Can we use it to help us understand Paul's life, journeys, ideas, passion, thoughts, or can't we use it? That's a very important question because, once again, many scholars, or many writers, the word scholar is a bit of a difficult word to actually clarify, but many people who write about these matters assume often, repeat each other, and sometimes argue, but that the Acts of the Apostles is written by someone, it's inspired, of course, it's a beautiful work, and like all the works of the New Testament, it has something to say about Jesus, it's got something to say about the early church, and Luke is writing his inspired convictions about all these matters, and he's writing it in the form of a history. That's the form he uses to communicate his insights and his prayer insights, his inspired insights. That's a very common point of view. When I went to Rome to research Paul, I decided to research Acts first because I realised this is going to be a crucial matter for me, this third time I've researched it, to discover as honestly as I can where to put the Acts, because if it's helpful to understand Paul, what a pity it is not to use it, because you've got a contemporary of Paul, you've got a companion of Paul, you've got someone whom Paul talked about, writing about Paul. If it really is what he's doing, and he really wants us to know what things were really like, you can see as well as I can, what a pity it would be to put it aside out of some sceptical view and not have that help. There are authors who say there's a contradictions here between Paul and here between Acts, and so they couldn't both be right. And of course you must take Paul's letters as your primary source for understanding Paul. Okay, there are scholars, however, eminent scholars, who maintain that Luke's Acts is exactly what it sets out to be, namely a history of that first generation of Christians, of the apostles, particularly Peter and Paul, and that he's done it very well. Okay, to bring you to the end of that, and then I'll prove it to you, the Acts of the Apostles is written by Luke. I think to say it's not, you have to be just simply sceptical. All the evidence points to it, I'm about to give it to you, and I was delighted to find, or happy to discover, maybe better to put it that way, that the Acts is a very good source for understanding Paul, and that they do not contradict Paul. Once you get back and get a bit of a knowledge of the Hellenistic period and history at the time and so on. So for what it's worth, but I can only offer it as an opinion, but it is my best informed opinion that the Acts of the Apostles is a very helpful, inspired book to help us understand Paul, his life and his thought. So the first thing I want to do with you now is tell you what we know about Luke. This might sound distant, but it really is so important. So I'm going to spend now 20 minutes on Luke, on the Acts of the Apostles, to hopefully share with you why I'm happy to be drawing on that in this lecture series on Paul. In Paul's letters, three of them, he mentions Luke. In his letter to Philemon, a small one-chapter letter, written probably, and again I can only say probably, from Ephesus in, let's say, the year 54, the middle 50s, he writes, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Interesting to see Mark and Luke together with Paul in a letter that no one doubts is Paul, probably from Ephesus. So here we are in the middle 50s, you've got Luke and Mark together with Paul, his fellow workers. That's the Luke we're talking about. And as you know from the Synoptic Gospels, there are quite close connections between Mark's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. The common opinion, and I think the right opinion, is that Luke drew on Mark. Mark was one of his sources. But then he did his own research, and of course it's a much larger book. About a third of Luke's Gospel is almost word from word from Mark, including the structure, the basic structure. But Luke has researched further and added and adapted. In a letter to the Colossians, which some doubt is written by Paul, but I don't, written at the same time, he says almost the same thing. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Epaphras greets you, and Luke. And then he adds, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. Two letters written from the same place by Paul, both including Mark and Luke. And a third time you'll find Luke mentioned in the New Testament, again, a letter that many doubt is written by Paul. The most common opinion is that the three pastoral letters belong to the generation after Paul. I think their opinion is wrong, but they think it's right, so that's all I can offer it to you. I think this is certainly Paul, and beautifully Paul, and his last letter before he was martyred. And he writes from Rome now. Something's happened to Demas that he's mentioned in the first two letters. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, one of his close workers, has got too hard, gave it up. It's okay, we don't know why. Only Luke is with me. And he says to Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for my ministry. So I think we have a right to think of Paul dying, lonely, in prison, awaiting martyrdom, and the only companion he's got there is Luke. Can you see why I'm saying that it's, if Luke is the author of Acts, and he is, and if Acts is really what it claims to be, a history, Luke might have insights into Paul that no one else has got. And he knows Paul a lot better than modern scholars know him. So I'd like to know what Luke thought of this lovely man. The early church documents, there aren't many, but they're there. We're only in the second century now. They all claim Luke as the author of the Acts of the Apostles. Here's the Muratori, was an Italian scholar who discovered a little fragment in Greek, because that's the language of the world at this time, the Mediterranean world. He discovered this very amazing little fragment, which includes information about some of the New Testament texts. And the dating of it is a bit uncertain, but 180 AD is what scholarly consensus is about that time. And in that we read this: Luke was a physician after the ascension of Christ. When Paul had taken him along with him as one devoted to letters, he wrote the gospel under his own name from hearsay. He himself had not seen the Lord in person, and he began his account with the birth of John. Doesn't tell us anything we don't know, but there it is. Irenaeus, born in Smyrna in western Turkey, what was then called the Roman province of Asia, just across, you know, the Dardanelles on Turkey's side, but he became a priest and he was a missionary in Lyon in France, where the Rhone River hurtles kind of west and then goes straight down to Marseille. Well, there was a Roman colony there, which is now what we call Lyon in France. He was the bishop there, and he wrote a massive work, many, many books, called Against the Heresies. Truth matters, of course, and he saw Christianity being weakened, fitted into people's culture, adapted in a kind of a new agey way. That might be a fair way of putting it. Like, people were religious in the sense that, what's another God? So Christianity could fit nicely into their worldview, and they fitted it in, but Christianity can't be fitted in. Christianity is about changing your worldview and seeing something new here, and something radical, and something very liberating. It can't be just another little bit in a jigsaw puzzle, because it's a revelation of God that stands out from everything so beautifully. Well, Irenaeus knew that, and he was passionate about trying to clarify the truth. And in the middle of this, he quotes those texts of Paul where he mentions Luke that I've just done with you. And he identifies Luke as the author of both books, the Gospel and the Acts. As a matter of interest, it's the earliest text in which our book is called the Acts of the Apostles, because the book itself has no title, no author on it, it's just the text. Clement of Alexandria, about the year 200, again speaks of Luke as the author of the Gospel and the Acts. Did they know? Why wouldn't they know? No one said anything different, and the tradition has always been that way. Finally, and to conclude this first little point about the author of the Acts, which I'm hoping we can use to understand Paul and hoping to convince you that it's usable, a very ancient Greek prologue to the Gospel includes this. Luke was a Syrian from Antioch. By profession a physician and a disciple of the apostles, later he was a follower of Paul until his martyrdom. He served the Lord without distraction, without wife, children. He died at the age of 84 in Boeotia, full of the Holy Spirit. Though Gospels were already in existence, that according to Matthew composed in Judea, and that according to Mark in Italy, he was prompted by the Holy Spirit and composed his Gospel entirely in the regions of Achaia. Achaia is the ancient name for southern Greece, the Peloponnese and a bit north of the Gulf of Corinth. Later, the same Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And lastly, Tertullian. Tertullian was from the Western Church. He was from North Africa, Roman North Africa. And about the year, or in fact in the year 208, we can date this quite accurately, he wrote this. Luke, and he says some wonderful things that are important for our study. Luke was not an apostle. He was a man of apostolic times. He was not a master, he was a disciple. The apostle he followed was undoubtedly Paul. Tertullian called Paul Luke's inspirer, and Luke's gospel, the gospel of his teacher, Paul, meaning the proclaimed word of Paul, and a digest of Paul's gospel. So, to conclude that point, my first point with you, early tradition is uniform in naming Luke as the author of the Acts. The Acts is largely about Paul, which you already realised, and we can have great confidence in thinking of Acts of the Apostles as written by someone who was a disciple of Paul, loved him, admired him, listened to him. That doesn't mean he says what Paul says. We're two different people. So he's got his own view, inspired view, and a beautiful view. So he's not just repeating Paul, of course, but he knew Paul. And when he presents Paul speaking, we should listen, and we could learn something that can help us fill out what we learn in their letters.